You know, one thing that I really like and try to find as much as possible is the interpretation of Scripture through the eyes of a Middle Eastern person or viewpoint, because the Bible was written in the Middle East. And oftentimes, when we translate it into our Western culture, we lose things. The essentials are there. We could still get the gist of what is being said, but there are some nuances that we lose when we bring it and just automatically interpret it in Western eyes. And today, I want to take a story in the Bible and really look at it through Middle Eastern eyes. And this is from a person that my wife and I recently heard speak at the Korean camp meeting. His name is Joseph Kidder, and he teaches at Andrews Seminary. And he was sharing some of these. He's an Iraqi. He actually is from Nineveh. So he's telling this, he's sharing this through the eyes of a Middle Eastern person. And I found it very, very enlightening and amazing. So I want to share some of those things with you today. So with no further delay, we're going to look at the story in Luke 15, chapter 15, starting with verse 16. If you don't know the story, please look it up. Luke 15, verse 16 through 32, I believe. And read it. Read it, because I'm not going to read through the story. Hopefully you have it in front of you and you can read through it. It's a very well-known, it may be the most preached-on passage in the Bible. So here is a story that Jesus tells of a father and his two sons. And one of the sons is referred to as a prodigal, because he, well, as you will see here, he wants to get out of the house. And I think if you've raised kids, you are familiar with this sentiment: get out of the house. And this boy, this son, the younger son, comes to the father as the story begins, and right off the bat, what does he do? He asks the father for his inheritance. And even to the Western mind, that's like, what? But to the Middle Eastern person, that's like speechless, you know, kind of a situation. And I'll get to why. But it's interesting that this son comes and asks the father for the inheritance, and the father's, without it, it seems like he doesn't even contemplate it that much. He just says, okay. And this is not the Middle Eastern thing. This is just the Western part here as I began. Even as a growing up in this culture, I'm like, what kind of father is this? What kind of father is this? I mean, any good father, a father worth his salt, would have said no. Right? I mean, that's what any good father would have said. No, son, you just wait. But not in this case. The father says okay. Why? To not delay this point at all, you could think about why. But I feel like Jesus is trying to make the point here that in this situation, And in many situations, God really values free choice. Now that is difficult for a lot of people. But this boy is grown up, you got to understand. He's not a little kid. I don't know how old he is, but he's old enough to go off on his own. And so the father says, okay, if this is what you want, I'll give it to you. Free choice. And as we look at the world today, a lot of us, including myself, have a difficult time with free choice. And we often ask God, why did you allow that? Why do you allow these things to happen in this world? It's too much free choice. Freedom, too much freedom. That's how we feel. I feel like that. I'm like, man, all these people having babies out of wedlock and all, you know, drug addicts having babies. And you ask, why? Why do you allow that? And the only answer I could come up with initially is that God really values free choice. We want to control, right? We want to not allow certain things to happen. That's the tendency. But for God, it's like, that's one thing I have given you. I did not create robots. I want you to make your decision. It's a difficult part of the story. Anywho, going back, looking at it through Middle Eastern eyes, though, here's the thing. When the son asks for his inheritance, he's not just asking for money. He is, through Middle Eastern eyes, he is essentially saying to the father, I wish you were dead. You know, be dead. That's what he's saying. So, I mean, this is like serious, right? Serious offense. So this pastor, apparently, who was preaching on this, was so unsatisfied with this answer, and he thought, does this ever actually happen in the Middle East? Has this ever happened? Where did Jesus get this? So he apparently went to the Middle East, and he interviewed family after family. And what was supposed to be like 3 months turned into 40 years. And he went and investigated the whole land. And he only found two instances where a child asked for his inheritance. And in one instance, he was shot. And in the other one, he was stoned. That's it. 40 years of investigation, and that's what he came up with. So this is like, this doesn't happen. Because the father has his reputation. And if people hear about this, that's mud in the face. And he's not going to allow it. And we have heard of instances where the child brings shame and disgrace to the family, and what happens? It's over for them in a lot of cases. So this is a very extreme or amazing situation here where the father actually says, okay. And this is where Jesus is doing something incredible in that he is leaving the culture. He is transcending the culture, and he's saying to the people, I know in your culture, in our culture, you don't do this. And the Father would never do this. But your Heavenly Father does. See, this to the Middle Eastern person is mind-blowing. It's hard to understand. But Jesus loves to do that. You stretch people's minds. Because God, the Bible says, is so much higher than our thoughts, right? And this is an instance of that. And so the people are trying to digest this story from the get-go. And so this boy, this son, takes the inheritance and he goes and he squanders it. And he ends up taking care of pigs. And again, in the Middle Eastern mind, in culture, pigs, right? Pigs. Pigs and Jews. Does that mix? Worse than eating pigs is taking care of pigs. Okay? So, I mean, this is like the low of the low, showing that this son has hit absolute rock bottom. That's what it's saying. And what's the message there? I think it is saying, for this child, he has not only disgraced the family, but he has reached the low of the low. And so for him to come back is far-fetched. He is so low. For him to come back into the family is really, really far, is the idea here. This boy is pretty much hopeless. And so he thinks to himself, well, you know, I can't get any worse. I'm going to go back, and I'm just going to ask to be a slave. So he heads back. And this is where it starts to get really interesting. So he's coming back, and the father sees him. And the father, it says, runs. And it can be very, it could be true that the father runs because he's happy to see his son, no doubt. But in the Middle East, there are two things that older men do not do. They do not smile. I mean, they don't laugh out loud. That you don't laugh out loud, and you don't run. That's just two things you don't do as an older person in the Middle East. Why? Because they consider that disgraceful. It's unbecoming. It's below them. It's undignified to do that. And so they don't. And so there was an instance where in the Middle East there was there were these people below in this valley, and there was an earthquake or something happened, and the sides and there were cars on the top, and they began to slide in, and a number of people died. You know why? Because they would not run. And that's how serious this is. So to this hearer, when they say he ran, and they're like, wow, he ran. Why did he run? And aside from the fact that he was really happy to see his son, it is very possible that he ran because if any of his family members got to him first, it would have been over. So he has to make sure he has to get there first, you see. Because he has disgraced the whole family. You see the older son? You remember the older son? You know, this guy deserves to be dead. There's no question. So all his family members are like, if he shows his face again, it's over. But the father has a different heart. He truly loves his son. And he doesn't want his son to die again. So he runs and he comes, and it says that he gets him, he kisses him, and then he puts, he tells them to bring a robe, and he puts a robe over him. What does that robe signify? The robe signifies pardon. Pardon. So when he puts the robe over him, he's safe. He's untouchable. It's not just that he's putting a nice robe on him so he looks good. No. Very important function here. Very practical that when he does this, it pardons him. It's much like this idea, right, in the Bible where Jesus says, I'm giving you a robe, right, to cover you, my righteousness, right, to cover you so that you are not guilty anymore. And Jesus puts his righteousness to cover us. And then we are justified. We are safe. So the Father covers him. He's safe. And then it says that he puts sandals on his feet. In the Western culture with slavery, we often... In America, in the history here, we identify slaves as being African American or the color of the skin, often. But in the Middle East, it was not like that. In the Middle East, anyone could be a slave. It could be Gentile. It could be a Jew. So you don't know. You don't know who's the slave and who's not. Because it's not cultural, it's not race-related. So how do you know? The only way you know is by the sandals. If you have a sandal, you're a son. If you don't, you're a slave. So when he puts the sandal on, he reinstates him as a son. Very, you know, through the middle, they all get this. You see, as they're listening to Jesus speak, the Middle Eastern people are all getting this, and they're going, wow, right? Western people are like, oh, yeah. we just kind of skim over all of this stuff as insignificant. But man, are each one of these things significant. And then it says that he puts a ring on his finger. What does this ring signify? This is pretty unbelievable to me. This son takes he asks for his inheritance, then he goes and he squanders it all. He comes back, he has nothing. The father, again, this is not a good father. You know, in our eyes, why would the father do this? He puts a ring on his finger, which is the equivalent of a ATM card. It's like a credit card. It's like a blank check, basically what he's doing. He's, with that ring, he can go and purchase anything. He can use the family wealth. Isn't that incredible? He just squandered everything and comes back and he puts a ring. And he has access once again to the wealth of the family. Doesn't make sense, right? Why would he do that? Good father would say, you wasted all your inheritance. That's it. You know, good luck. You're not getting any more, right? But not here. So the son is pardoned. He is reinstated as a son. He's given a ring, an ATM card with unlimited access. And then the father says, bring the fattened calf. In the Middle East, there were only two occasions where they would kill the fattened calf. Can you guess what the two are? Two occasions? Okay. Wedding. And what's the other? Huh? No. Not a funeral. It is the birth of a child. Birth of a child and a wedding. That they would kill the fattened calf. So why does he kill the fattened calf here? Because he says, my son was dead and he's alive again. So it's a new birth. He's come back alive. So it's time to kill the fattened calf. Makes a lot of sense, right? So they're partying it up. My son was dead and now he is alive. And finally, as we come here, the father comes to the older son and he says, come, son, come and celebrate because your son has come back. And the older son refuses to go in. Why? He has good reason. You know, this son does not deserve it at all. He disgraced the whole family, squandered everything. Why? Why do you celebrate that? And the son says something, the older son says something interesting. He says, you know what? I've slaved for you all these years, and you have not even given me a lamb to party with my friends. And the father says, what? He says, son, everything I have is yours. So please hear this clearly. This is a very important point. The older son, his problem was that he understood the rules, but he did not understand the father's heart. I hope you remember that, if nothing else. He got the rules, but he did not get the father's heart. Two very different things. And in this story, through Middle Eastern eyes, we truly get the father's heart here. We see it. Beyond all the rules, beyond all the do's and don'ts in the culture, Jesus tells this incredible story where we go past all these barriers and screens and we get to peer into the heart of God and what it's all about. It's amazing. It's an amazing revelation that Jesus does here. Let me just close today by just saying that I love God because I love this, because here we have a father who cares more about me than he does about his reputation. He cares more about my well-being than he does about how other people look at him. About being misunderstood. Is God misunderstood? My, oh my, right? Coming to this earth, living as a human being, hanging out with sinners, doing all these things, dying on a cross. Just misunderstood all across the board. But why does he do that? Because he is most interested in our well-being, to save us. There are a lot of people who go through life and they think that God is mad at them, that God is not happy with them, you know, that God does not accept them. And it's not true. And hopefully through the Middle Eastern interpretation today, I hope you have come to see that which we in the Western world, we miss this. We miss this. But here you see that God is truly not like that. That He truly loves us. He more than anything, He wants to pardon us, to reinstate us. If we but return. But a lot of people are afraid because they feel like they're unworthy. But I'm so grateful for the story that Jesus told. And I hope you take this with you and share it. The true heart of God. The unconditional love. He doesn't care whether you say, "You're a bad father." You know, He doesn't really care. As He's telling the story, there are people going, "What? Why are you doing that? Why are you that?" He doesn't care. He just cares. All He cares about that He saves us. He loves us. He protects us. That's it. For our well-being. That's His heart. And I hope you take that with you today. All right. We're going to close with a song today. Sing it together. Yeah, it's different. Sorry, we changed it.
You raise me up.
Let's stand together as we sing. I want you to, as you sing this, I want you to really just forget about your surroundings and sing this to God and thank Him in your heart. Just say, "Thank you, God. I love you." Just spend this time appreciating and loving God for what He has done, what He is doing. As you think about what He has done in your life.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come my heart burdens me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sing a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can need. There is no life, no life without restless heart beats so
Seated. I forgot to do something, right, Rob? I want to show you a video before I close. And I love this video because the father here in this video, he really doesn't care. He doesn't really care what people think or what the rules are. He only cares about his son. Our heads. Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for this story that you told. And that it shows, dear God, so clearly that you really care about one thing, and that is us. And that you are going to be here for us. And you're going to help us and save us, no matter what it takes. And we thank you for that, and may we go from this place with that confidence, dear God, that you are always with us. And so we love you, and we will continue to worship you and live for you each day. And may we share this truth with other people who need it. We pray in your precious name. Amen.